more powerful, more helpful, or more Jesus-like than to pray for his people there's just nothing more Jesus-like to do. Right now, he is in heaven praying for us. Can you think of something more Jesus-like? That's pretty Jesus-like. That's what he's doing right now, praying for us. Pray for his people. In fact, that's our focus this morning, is to be like Jesus in praying for missions. The message title, if you're writing stuff down, I don't know if you're one of those type of people, but if you write stuff down, the message title this morning is Model Prayer for Mission. And I know that sounds like a big title. Like he's about to give me a prayer that is the go-to prayer for missions. But it's not my prayer, it's Jesus' prayer, so it's okay. I'm allowed to say it's the model prayer because it's from Jesus. So, the model prayer for missions. And we're going to turn to John chapter 17 for that prayer. And I know there are a few that take notes, and as you're turning to John chapter 17, I wanted to give you the beginning of each piece of our model prayer this morning. Each time, the ending will be different, but the beginning will be the same. And for some reason, I made the points really long, so sorry. But they're good, hopefully, Lord willing. So, Jesus prayed, that's the first two words, Jesus prayed that those who would believe would be, and that's where it stops, and then the rest of it's different for each piece. So I'll repeat that again. Jesus prayed that those who would believe would be. Jesus prayed that those who would believe would be. And that's the beginning of each of our piece of our model prayer this morning of points that would pop up. Before we jump into this model prayer that Jesus gives, I would like to pray that we have open hearts to receive what God wants to teach us this morning. And maybe it'll even impact the way we pray for our church, it'll impact the way we pray for the mission, and maybe even impact the way we live out our Christian life. Lord willing, let us be challenged. So Jesus, we need you. This is your church. This is your time. I'm here to be faithful. Even if I sputter and stutter or say something silly, Lord, I pray that it would all just be washed away if it's not of you. All the good stuff that's of you that you want to challenge our hearts with, let us have open hearts to receive it this morning. Jesus, we need you. In your name, amen. John chapter 17, we're actually going to jump toward the ending of it and start with verse 20 and read to the end of the chapter. So John chapter 17, starting with verse 20. And this is Jesus praying. My prayer is not for them alone. He was praying for his disciples, those he would be leaving behind after his death and his resurrection and ascension. He would be leaving his disciples behind. He'd be leaving the church behind. And so he's not just praying for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And if you have ever wanted to put your name in the Bible, right there is a good spot. Right now, the message of Jesus can be proclaimed to you, and you could put your name right there and say, I would be willing to be one who believed. That's the message of Jesus. It's the message of the disciples, and it's spanning for thousands of years now. And you could put your name here. That's pretty cool. Jesus is praying for you. For all who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and you love them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, Though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. That's our passage this morning, the prayer that Jesus gave right before he gets arrested and ends up on the cross. So here we are. Our first piece of this model prayer is this. Jesus prayed that those who would believe would be so kept that the world would notice. It would be so kept that the world would notice. And we see this in verses 20 through 22. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them would be one. Father, just as you and me and I and you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. And we stop there. And the interesting thing about the word here, let's see. You might be, So you might be asking yourself, where's the word kept then, or protected or guarded, or however you want to phrase it? Where's the in the passage there? It's actually better understood in verses 11 and 12, where he's praying for his disciples. And he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they will remain in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that, he said, protect them so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus is asking the Heavenly Father to protect his people so that they may be one. And the word there for protect in the original isn't exactly protect, but it's not exactly not protect. It's a really weird word. It's often most translated kept, like you're keeping something, you're reserving it, you're guarding it. But that's not the main point here. That's not the reason that I wanted to bring this up. The real issue here is what are we being kept in, guarded by God to stay in, or reserved for? What's the reason? We're being kept in the name of Jesus. That's what he's praying for, that they would be kept in Jesus, that they wouldn't be dragged away by some temptation, that they wouldn't be pushed out by some pressure in life. Jesus is the glue. He's the holder together, agent of all Christianity, all the church, all the Bible, all creation, all of everything. He is the glue of everything. And how do we know something is being held together, or the strength of that hold? How do you know something's being held together, or the strength of the hold, that bond? It's usually with resistance that we know something's being held together. The pressure from within, or the pressure outside, it's come bearing down on it, or it's pushing out on it. And we see that in verses 14 and 15, there's the pressure. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. That sounds like pressure to me. The world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. More pressure. More resistance. There is pressure, there is resistance. Think back to the sheet here, the things that were just prayed for, that Lord willing, we all prayed for. Think about the pressures these international workers are in, the resistance that they're facing, the problems that their families are facing. When we pray for our international workers, pray that they are kept in the name of Jesus. Pray that they are protected from the evil one and the world and the pressures of being out there. They are facing some serious stuff that we take for granted, really. 70% of our international workers are in creative access countries. Did you know that? 70%. We mean business in the Christian Missionary Alliance. We don't just send our international workers to where there's already gospel access. We send international workers where there's one in 600,000. We can't even imagine what that looks like. The city of Florence, it's like 40,000 people. Imagine being the only Christian among 40,000 people. That would be overwhelming. Now, more than double that. That's what these international workers are facing, in hostility. Pray that they are kept in the name of Jesus and protected. We prayed for international workers, and we heard that they are weary, and they have zero privacy. They have no private life because the government is so on top of them. They're listening to everything. They are following them everywhere. We can't imagine that. Pray that they are protected. That's a pressure and a resistance we just can't fathom unless we've seen it or been a part of it just for a brief time. And here's the result of an answered prayer for this. Jesus, keep our international workers in the name of Jesus and protect them from the pressures. Here's the result that Jesus gives. The result, according to Jesus, will be that the world will take notice of their rock-solid faith and commitment to Jesus. That's the result. The world will notice. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The world will notice when our answer to prayer comes. The steadiness of their bond with Jesus, the hold of Jesus has on them and they have on Jesus, in and through the pressures, in the resistance, in the fire of what they're dealing with. The world will take notice. Which makes us ask the question, is the world noticing in me my bond with Jesus, the hold that Jesus has on my life? When Jesus brings you through something, it makes it a little bit easier to pray for someone else because you start to understand, Jesus holds me. He keeps me. And a really good example of this was the three that were in the fire in the book of Daniel. Do you remember the story? What are the names? Say them out loud. It's okay. We're small. You guys said it in unison. It was so good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There were three shoved into this dangerous fire that killed someone just for opening the door. But when they looked in, how many did they see? I hope you cheat. There were four in the fire. Jesus was in the fire with them. Jesus can be in the fire with our IWs. Jesus will be in the fire, in your fire. Pray that Jesus keeps our IWs. Some of our international workers are facing the furnace right now, or they're facing the threat of the furnace right now. And as we heard a lot of that this morning, pray that Jesus would keep them and he would be with them. Not that they would take them out of the world. Jesus says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. Don't take them away from things, but keep them safe. Keep them. Reserve them. Guard them. Show the world that they are nothing to your power, Jesus. Help them. Hold them fast. Hold their faith. That's what we're praying for this morning. That's the same way you can pray for yourself. You pray that for the international workers. Pray that for those in the church. Pray it everywhere. But the focus this morning is missions. Our next piece speaks to the oneness that was mentioned here in these verses. The oneness that seems to be a theme throughout this prayer. If you read the whole chapter, you would see the word oneness, or keep them, make them one, a lot of times. And when you read your Bible and something repeats, it's kind of a big deal. Just in case you were wondering, it's a big deal when God repeats himself. And Jesus is repeating himself a lot in this prayer. The oneness is a big deal. So here's our next piece. Jesus prayed that those who would believe would be, and here's the different part, so united, so unified, that they would bring about the end. That sounds really weird. That they would be so unified that they would bring about the end. And I'll show you where I see this in these verses. Verse 23 and 24. We're gonna read it very slow so you can see what I see. 23 and 24. The very first part, this first sentence. I am in them and you in me. The oneness that was talked about. So that they may be brought into complete unity. Again, the oneness that was talked about. So we got the oneness, the complete unity with Jesus, with each other. And then comes the next part. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The world will know about Jesus and the love of God for us. What does that sound like to you? For those that have been in church just for a little bit, that have heard the good news of Jesus just a little bit, you would know that that sounds a lot like the good news of Jesus. That the world would know that Jesus had come down and died on the cross for you, and that he loves you, that he loves his people. It sounds like the good news of Jesus to me. Then you get to verse 24. Here's the result of that. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. What does that sound like to you? Where is Jesus right now? In heaven, praying for us. It feels a little weird, verse 24, unless you understand Matthew 24:14. And I'll read that verse for you really quickly. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. What does that sound like to you? Missions. Sounds like missions. And will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Jesus is saying here that he is praying that the oneness in the church, that the oneness with God among the church and the Father would be so good and so connected and so perfect and so motivating that it would get us out to all the planet where no one has heard, where everyone needs to hear, your neighborhoods need to hear, your schools need to hear the news of Jesus, your work needs to hear the good news of Jesus, your grocery stores, I don't know where you go, wherever you go needs to hear the good news of Jesus. And once the whole world has heard, Jesus comes back. Then the end will come, says the last part of verse 14. We are so united in like-mindedness and Jesus-focusedness that the natural tendency is the excitement that we feel with Jesus. I don't know if you have a good relationship with Jesus or not, but when you do, there's excitement there. There's actually a God that loves me. He wants to be with me. This person doesn't know him. They need to know this. There's excitement when you know Jesus and you have a good relationship with Jesus. How's your relationship with Jesus this morning? Sorry, this is supposed to be about missions. These people around the world are going to be watching our international workers, and they're going to go, this is different. These teams that come from a different country, they're coming here and they're different. They're united. They're together. And they have a single-mindedness about them. They're talking this good news. And the world is taking notice, and they're bringing about the end, the Jesus's return. This is something I've heard often that people love about the Alliance. This is something I love about the Alliance, that we care very much about the return of Jesus, so much so that we've caught the idea of Matthew 14 or 24:14, that we need to be out there telling people about Jesus so we can finally be with him. Not just to appreciate missions. That's not the reason we're having our missions week this week. We're not here just to go, ooh and ah. These people are out there and they're seeing a different part of the world and a different people. Well, we're here to remember there's a mission. We're here to raise awareness again that there's a world out there that needs Jesus and it needs people to go to them. It needs people to go tell them about Jesus. Romans says, how are people supposed to hear if people don't go? If people don't go tell them, they'll never hear. We need to go. Maybe today the Lord would be challenging someone here right now to say, I'm calling you to the mission field. Would you say yes? Jesus hasn't stopped calling people to the mission field. Is Jesus here on the planet yet, ruling? He's not here yet. He hasn't stopped calling. You, right now, today, need to consider going to the field. Maybe Jesus is calling you to a different people so that he can tell them how much he loves them through you. You get to be part of those folks that usher in the king, bring him back. Are you ready to partner with Jesus? Are you ready to say yes to the call? Please talk to me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you about that, pray with you about that, encourage you. Talk about next steps. Talk to me. And what I love about our denomination is they don't really care too much about your age unless you've reached an age where you can't go. So they don't care if you're in your 40s or your 50s. If Jesus is calling you, he's calling you. The rest of us might breathe a breath of relief in this moment because we're like, whew, he's not calling me. But I hope that you're also breathing a breath of prayer for those that are actually being called to go, those that need to be sent. Breathe that breath, but breathe it in prayer of support. So more can be sent out from among us, from right now, right here. More need to be sent out from among us. He's not done. The mission's not done. Jesus isn't back yet. God is still calling people from among us to go. The world and those around you need to hear the good news of Jesus so we can finally be with him. I love verse 24. Look at verse 24 again. Father, it almost feels like he's begging. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. I want them to be with us. He uses that same kind of language at the beginning of his prayer. If you looked at the beginning verses, you would see that Jesus starts praying, Father, I miss you so much and I just want to be back with you. Would you bring me back with you? I feel like it's time. I just want to be with you. And the same kind of language is used here in verse 24 for you. I just want to be with them. Can we finish this up already? That's how he feels. How do you feel? You want to finish this up already? Then go. We need people to go. We'll pay for you. We'll pray for you. Just go. Jesus is missing us in heaven right now, and he wants you to be there. He wants us to be there. He cares about us like crazy, and he likes your company. Isn't it weird to know that Jesus wants your company? He likes your company, your companionship. This love, which should be in our own hearts, leads us to this next part of our mission, our prayer for missions. This is our last part. Jesus prayed that those who would believe would be so marked by love that they had to be from Jesus. They would be so marked by love that they have to be from Jesus. There'd be no other explanation. They are so marked by love, they have to be from Jesus. We see that in verses 25 and 26. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, we're back to the world not knowing, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, the disciples, the people that will know. And I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. This isn't an ordinary kind of love. This is a God-level love being poured out into your life, being poured out into our international workers' life. This is the last bit of our prayer. And Jesus says, the world doesn't know God or the one that God sent, Jesus. But those who believe do know God, and they know that Jesus was sent by God. And in order to fix the not knowing problem of the world, Jesus asks that God would be able to continue to make himself known to those that already believe, which might be weird. If you're a task person, you're a process person, and you think, oh, well, I already know God. Why do I want to know more about God? I already know him. If you're a relational person, it starts to make a little bit of sense. Because relational people go, yeah, I want to know more about you. I want to know everything. And that's where we're at. We get so focused on the knowing the right parts, knowing the right thing, that we miss knowing more of God, the one who makes us right. And there's a reason that the three biggest commandments in Scripture have to do with love. It's because this thing is relational. The greatest commandment is what? I love all the mumblings, and they're correct. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. What's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. What's the third one? I didn't think so. So the third one is this. Jesus gives us a new commandment on the Last Supper, and he says, love one another. And he's speaking to the disciples. Church, love one another, us. This isn't talking about the world. This is talking about us. Love one another as I, Jesus, have loved you. Has Jesus loved you lately? Love somebody else the same way. Love each other as I have loved you, for this is how the world will know you are my disciples, by the way you love. We love so marked by love that we must be from Jesus. We must be. This isn't any kind of love. This is God's love. Like I said, it's the best kind. It's the only kind, and it comes from God, and it comes through us. We are praying that our international workers will be so moved by love and so marked by love, which is always countercultural. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. People are selfish. People notice when there is real love and there is real care. People notice, and they want to know why. Why are you different? Why do you act this way? It's different. It's weird. And I want to know more about it. I actually want part of it. Would you tell me more? We need to be marked by love. There's a world around us and a world out there that we don't know that needs to know Jesus. Our international workers are sent to be very difficult places. And when they need our prayers, would you pray with me right now for these international workers? And we're going to pray that they would be united in and to Jesus, and they would be kept in the name of Jesus and protected in the name of Jesus, and that they would be marked by the love of Jesus, that people would take notice. All this so that the name of Jesus would be known and be made known. Father, we need you. Would you please let this be done? Your international workers need you so much, and our prayers might feel like nothing, but they're to a God that moves the planets. They're to a God that breathes and things happen. They're to a God that holds all power and authority and all favor, and he can turn hearts any which way he wants to. Those people following our international workers to make sure they're not speaking the name of Jesus can be turned to Jesus. Lord, I pray that they have dreams that would make them question what they're doing, that would make them wonder, do these people that are from a different culture know what's going on in my dreams? Let that happen, Jesus. I pray for these government officials that are so anti-Jesus. Lord, bring favor with them. Lord, would you turn the tide? Would you bring about the return of Jesus because of these international workers? Raise up new workers from among us. Let those that have heard the call this morning speak up. Lord, we need you, and we need you more right now, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.